Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hey everybody, welcome to Life Lessons and Laughter. Here we are, and here is Aubrey.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going? Long time no see.
I know. How you been in the last 30 seconds?
A lot has changed, as you can see.
Yes, a lot has changed.
Yes.
Did I mute my phone? I did. All right, we're in good shape. All right. So today we're discussing what's wrong with the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to you about this, and like, this has been coming in strong over, especially like the last 3 weeks, I think 3 or 4 weeks. And it's this, like, I mean, the energy shifts are palpable. Not lately, you know, like maybe in the last year or two, especially. It's like I can feel them. A lot of other people can feel them. So it's the spiritual shift that's happening. Oh, I just realized my microphone is like way over there. This might be better.
I can okay. still hear you.
All right.
I'm over here, so.
So, okay, good. Well, maybe it's a really good microphone. Who knows? it's, you know, the energy shifts and the spiritual shift that's happening on the planet, it's just the intensity in which it picks up speed sometimes is overwhelming in a way. It's just like it really, I can feel it happening. And there's certain like times where I get kind of like, okay, here we are now feelings, you know? So like a few years ago, it was like ground yourself in your spirituality, really dive into your spirituality, anchor in because you're going to need it, because things are going to get hectic. You know, things are going to get worse before they get better and all this stuff. So I've been talking about that for, you know, 2-3 years now. Anchor in, really do your spiritual work, do your spiritual work. And now it feels like, you know, there's kind of a different message, but it's kind of the same message, but expanded. So it's like the next step. So it's along those same lines, but it's different. You know, and this is what I find interesting with the spiritual shifts is the messages. It's like we're being led. It's like they're throwing breadcrumbs for us, you know, and be like, hey, guys, you know, and we never fully get it because we're so human in our thinking. And it's so hard. So we don't really, we kind of get it, and we try to lean into the best of our ability, but where we're going is so beyond our comprehension that it's hard for us to fully grasp it. But that doesn't mean it's not coming. So it's just, you know, the universe knows that. So it's just still unfolding, and it just continues to unfold. And when the next level comes, it sometimes it's a little shock. It's a little like, whoa, what? Am I ready? Like, wait a minute. I didn't finish up what I was supposed to do in the last step. Like, are we already on this step? Like, you know, and it feels like that. But it's, you know, the beauty of it is the universe always knows better than we do. And I think that that's an aspect of our linear thinking. You know, we're like, well, you know, you go to school and you're in seventh grade, and then they tell you when the school year is over, and then they tell you when you're in eighth grade. So it's like, you know, it's almost like unconsciously we think it's going to be that, you know, so we're waiting. We're almost waiting for our graduation certificate. So we know that it's time for us to take the next step. And there isn't one, you know, it's just the constant unfolding. So we don't, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, if we if we completely completed all our homework. It's like we're going to the next grade anyway. And, you know, and for some people, like if you didn't like your seventh grade teacher, jumping into eighth grade is probably better, you know. Right.
You know? Start over, new teacher.
Yeah, it's like, you know, whatever. Let's just pick up, you know, where you left off and we'll just kind of go, you know, we'll make it work somehow, you know. So I think that that's kind of how it is. It's, you know, we don't really have to be worried. There's no test, you know, like, so, but for some, but you, so it's, you know, we're kind of being led and we're being, hey, you should lay down your, you should anchor into your spirituality. You should do your self work. Okay, cool. Now that stage is over now, but it's kind of a version of the same stage. It's just a little bit more advanced.
It's so the next level up.
Right. So like if you pay attention, this is the hard part about talking about spirituality is words don't quite do it justice. You know, it's bigger than words. So this stage feels like it's okay. You guys have to like, before you were anchoring into your spirituality so you could and not allow the noise that was going on around you to distract you. You needed to learn to stay anchored. Now, this stage is okay. Hope you did some of that, because where we are now is like now we're even closer to the beginning of the end. Like, so now just stop paying attention to all that stuff. You know, like before we're trying to be in the middle of it and stay anchored. Now the next stage is like, don't even worry about being in the middle of it anymore. Like, it's just, don't even give it your attention anymore.
I see.
Don't worry about it. It's like, it's falling apart. Yeah, but there's racism. Yeah, I know. And like that paradigm that has racism in it ain't going to be, it's not going to get fixed.
Right.
Like that's the reason there's racism in that paradigm is because the paradigm is broken. The paradigm is flawed. It was doomed to fail when it started, you know? And in some ways, that probably started 100,000 years ago with Homo sapiens sapiens. Like, you know, it probably, you know, there's some trains of thought that you can kind of trace it back to then that all this crap started. Yeah. So that might be the truth, or it might have started 30,000 years ago. Who gives a crap? The fact is that it was doomed to fail. It was based on power and greed. So, you know, money, power, whatever, like if you hoarded and you had something that somebody else didn't, you used it over them instead of sharing. And as soon as we went down that road and everybody bought into that system, we were screwed. Yeah. It was never going to work. Now, you know, we always had the opportunity to wake up and go, hey, wait a minute, this isn't working. I don't think that this is the right way to go. And shifting, because we have free will, and we could have headed in a different way, but we didn't. So here we are. Welcome. Welcome to the end of the world as we know it. You know, so the whole paradigm that we bought into was doomed to fail. And the problems within it, we can only put so many band-aids on it. You know, it's like the dike leaking, you know, like there's only so many cracks you can put your finger into until the whole thing crumbles down, and it's coming down, you know? So we're not going to be fixing all the world's problems in that current paradigm. We are not going to fix world hunger and world poverty and racism and sexism and all the, and the political mess and melee and like you, I don't care who you elect, man, you could elect Jesus Christ himself in every office, like from city, state to federal, mm-hmm. and have him in those offices for 50 years. And he'd be like, you can't fix this.
It was set to fail from the jump. Yeah. It was never intended on. Yeah. It's
a pyramid scheme. It was always rigged for power and money to go upward in a pyramid, you know, and all pyramid schemes fail at some point. And that's what we're in. All the money and the power is at the top. It's there. You did it. Congratulations. You won. If you wanted a bunch of money and power, the ones that really strove for it and bought into it, they got it.
Yeah.
Game's over now.
Right.
You know, you can't really, you know, when you're worth $1 trillion, does it really matter if you're worth $1.2 trillion? Like, you know, at some point it just doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. Like a lot of people don't realize how deep it is. It's, you know, the real powerful families, you know, I'm talking to ones that have trillions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Those families, you're looking at least 10, 20 generations of people that have been able to do whatever they wanted, however they wanted, to the point that they can't even understand society anymore. Like that they just haven't been a part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, they think, you know, I mean, I heard somebody say this and I really like it, which might sound weird, but I like it because I like understanding motivation, and the motivation that people are jerks just doesn't fly with me. That doesn't, it's just not enough. People aren't jerks. People are good people. It's ignorance and thinking that causes the problems, you know? So when I heard somebody say, you know, these people, since they've been so far removed and so successful for so many generations, they've lived a life that we can't even fathom, and mm-hmm. they can't fathom ours. They're just too far removed from it, you know? So like, you know, for your 16th birthday, if you get handed a $1 billion company, like, you're living in a different world than 90% of the rest of the people. Yeah, you know, so
and just hand it that you didn't have to work for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so
the way you live the lifestyle.
Yeah. And you're inundated. You associate with people like that. You just think that you're better. You think that, like, your family and the families like yours are, it's your role to run the world. Because everybody else is too ignorant,
like,
and they're just simply not capable. And we would hurt ourselves if we actually could run our own lives. So they're actually saving us. You know, they're actually helping us by running the world the way it's supposed to, because we're just not capable of that, because we're just little people, you know, ignorant people. So, like, that to me made sense. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Generation after generation after generation after generation being removed from reality with the normal people. Right. Like, yeah, because I mean, really, like, you know, if this dynamic has a possibility of being true, then we should be able to see it elsewhere. And we do, like, see it. Sports is probably the best example. Celebrity too, but sports, I mean, you know, these kids that are really gifted at sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they are the king of the town at 12.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're getting free pizzas at the pizza place at 12 years old because they're the star athlete. At high school, they're, you know, with all the attractive women, people are trying to become, the adults are trying to become their friends because they think that they're going to be popular someday and a celebrity because they're going to make it to the pros. And they're going to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, they've lived a very different reality of people wanting to be their friend, of people saying yes to whatever they say. Oh, yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. About everything. About being passed in classes that they didn't actually pass. Like, mm-hmm. they've lived a completely different reality. And then all of a sudden, you know, at 23 years old, they get handed $10 million.
Right.
And they blow a gasket, and people, like, geez, what, man, I don't understand. They had the whole world handed to them and they just crapped it away. It's like, well, I mean, yeah, they didn't have any reality. They weren't interacting with reality.
Yeah.
You know, so that can happen in one generation. That can happen just in living a different existence, even amongst the normal people in 15 years. Now you take that same dynamic and you put that in families that have had a complete, you know, a lifestyle like that times 1,000.
Completely disassociated. Completely disassociated.
Completely. And then for them to think that they're special, of course they do. I mean, every evidence in the world points to the fact that they are special. Mm. You know, I mean, they have mounds of evidence from an external world. It's, of course, it's not true. But on a transient level, on a human level, there's all kinds of, they could probably write 60,000 reasons why they're different than normal people and why they should be running the world, you know? So then I'm like, oh, okay. Now I understand the way they think and it's logical. Now, is it true? No, it's not true. You know, they're not different than us. I mean, they are the same as us, but I understand why they think the way they think.
Yes, because they're so removed. It's you look at it and it makes you, it just helps you understand, you know, it makes them more relatable. But so you're saying, so we're talking about the paradigm as it exists, right?
Right.
So what do we do?
So that's like, So like that's just where we are now. And it's just the reality of where we are now. And it's designed, you know, like if you look at any problem that we have, can we fix it? Like, can we fix world hunger? Well, of course we can. There's more than enough food to feed everybody. We have the delivery possibilities. Like we have planes. We could there's zero reason why people are starving. So why are they? Well, because the focus is not solving social problems. If it was, we would have solved it by now. But that's not. The focus is all power and money. Now, so we have whatever we put energy to expands. Whatever we try to achieve, we achieve because we're putting energy towards it. So if we were, how could we possibly have the same problems that we had 100 years ago with all the technology and everything?
We
couldn't. We if we used our technology and our brains to solve problems, we would have solved them by now, you know? But we're not. We're using technology and intelligence to funnel money and power upward. Now, has that happened? Yes, it has. That's how I know that that's the goal.
Right.
Because if you want to figure out what the goal of a paradigm is, just look what it's achieving. Because that's what the goal is. So if it was to solve problems, we would be solving problems. It's not. Well, what are we? If we're not solving problems, what are we doing? Well, we're funneling money and power upwards. Right, that's happening. Okay, and we can literally prove that. So it's like, oh, well then, does it make sense that that's the goal of the paradigm? Yes, because it's being achieved. That's how we know it's the goal. So that's where we are. And it's just, it's a flawed system because it's based, it's like, you know, the old adage of building your house on sand. This is what we did. We built our house on sand. We built a paradigm based on money and power funneling upward. That was always going to fail. So it is. So what we have to do is understand that. Now, you know, I think as a general rule, I always talk about the problem first so we can wrap our brain around the problem so then we can get to the solution. So we have to understand that the paradigm is literally broken. It's flawed. It's doomed to fail. We're never going to fix it. So we have to stop looking at all the things that distract us because that keeps us attached to it. You know, it's this is why every 2 weeks, you know, there's something else that comes out on the news for people to argue about. And if nothing comes out on the news, they'll just make one up and spit it out on social media. But the argument keeps people attached to that paradigm. It keeps them involved. It keeps their energy in. And it doesn't matter if they're saying this is wrong or this is right.
They're feeding energy into it.
They're feeding energy into it. So,
it like, still exists.
Right.
As long as
this is the Mother Teresa example that I always use, you know, because I love that a little old Catholic nun understood energy. I just love that, you know? So, you know, they said, will you go to an anti-war rally? She said, no, but if you have a pro-peace rally, I'll be the first one there. Because anti-war, I'm not going to an anti-war, because it doesn't matter if you're pro-war or anti-war. All the universe understands energy and topic.
Yes.
So it's like, so if you're anti-war, you're feeding energy towards war. It's just like the war on drugs. As soon as we declare war on something, all the we put a bunch of energy towards it and it expands. There's more drug problems now than there was in the 80s when we declared war on it. You know?
Yeah.
So, so what it is, you know, we have to stop. We have to start disconnecting from the present paradigm and stop letting our attention and our energy be dragged into that stuff and get into arguments over it and worry about it and fear. That's all energy. Oh my God, did you see what happened? That's energy. Oh my God, this is how it should be. That's energy. Yeah. We're just, so we're trapped. And the powers that be know this, you know, this is why they give us things to argue about, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Biden and Trump.
Biden
and Trump running for office. I mean, if that isn't like, here, guys, just argue. Like,
it's comical. It's comical.
The best thing, so if something's true, it should be true in the microcosm and the macrocosm. So with our own lives and our, like, one of the best ways to know if your ego is in control is if you're ruminating about a question and you ask yourself, does it matter? A lot of times when we're asking ourselves something and we keep ruminating about it and we keep obsessing over it and thinking about it and it's owning us, the reason that it's doing that is because it's like a dog chasing its tail, because there is no answer. There isn't a real answer, or there are answers, but the answers don't actually matter. So it's like, you know, and this applies to the macrocosm that we're in now. Like, does it really matter who's in office? No, because we, you know, everybody said we needed a Republican in office. We got one, and the world problems didn't get fixed. Then they said we needed a Democrat in office. Okay, we got one. Then the world problems didn't get fixed. And people are still fighting that battle. They think it's so important.
Yeah.
And if you look at history, it's literally shown us over and over and over and over and over again, just in the United States alone, that it doesn't matter. You know, problems haven't been solved in the last 40 years. And we've gone through many periods where we've had 4 8-year presidents in one party and then 4 8-year presidents in another party. And so we've had them both in control and nothing has ever been accomplished. So it doesn't matter. How do I know this? Because we've literally done it a bunch of times.
Right. It doesn't matter what variables change, it will stay the same.
Right, because the goal is the same. The goal isn't to fix problems, it's to gain power. So power shifts back and forth. So if you're concerned who has power, well, then go vote. But I mean, don't think that when somebody has power, they're actually going to be able to do something.
Right.
Because they can't, because then the other side will, you know, they'll run the Congress, or they'll like, they'll block them somehow, or they'll come back in next time and win. And then they'll strip all the, everything that they did or whatever, you know, all the political BS that goes on. Everything is like that. And if, you know, like a lot of times in our lives, we get like that in our own heads, you know, what, I can't think of an example right now, but this is something I do often in my own life. It's like, if I keep ruminating about something, it's like, well, what happens if the answer turns out to be yes? And I'll look at it closely, and usually it comes out like, oh, well, then my life won't really change.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what if the answer comes out to be no? Well, my life won't really change. That's perfect, because it feeds the ego. It's an endless loop of food. That's what the ego wants. Wow. Is it wants to be a dog chasing its tail, because it's an endless source of food. It's an endless source of energy. You know, this is why that, like, look at the things that people argue about in, you know, in the world. Like,
yeah. You know? There's no end in sight.
There's no end. I mean, even
arguments about being right too. It's not even about, like, there's no, you know.
Right, which is funny, because the arguments about being right, but there is no right. There's just different perspectives.
So round and round and round and round we go.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, you know, like it's like our people feel good by feeding their ego by, like, arguing about the war, you know, and they're like, well, Putin's wrong, or I'm sure there's other people. Most people are saying that seems to be the, you know, the general consensus. Yeah. I think I'm kind of detached from society, but I believe that everybody's saying he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
But there's got to be some people that are on his side. Otherwise he wouldn't be able to be doing this long.
Yeah.
You know? So, but a lot of people don't even think that they have power. That's what's funny. You know, this is why arguing over Putin is useless, because it doesn't change anything. You know, like if this is, you know, I don't want to pick on Russia. It's the same thing in the United States. It's, we are so anesthetized by the system that we don't even stand in our power anymore. We just point the finger and say, though, the people in charge are bad and they keep doing bad things. It's like, yeah, but we the people have elected them. Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, they have the army. The army is people.
Just like
just like us. Like, you know. Yeah. So, like, if we actually got together and said, you know what, killing people in the name of peace is stupid, and we're not going to allow it anymore, then it would stop.
Right.
You know, these people don't actually have power over us. It's just an illusion.
Yeah.
You know, so, but we argue about it. So instead of just claiming, hey, this is not a world I want to live in, we're going to live like this. Instead of doing that, we argue, and it feeds our ego. Oh, I must be a good person, because, you know, I said Putin was bad. So there's my ego stroke. I'll feel like a good person for about 15 minutes, and then I'll complain about something else, and then I'll get another ego stroke, and then I'll feel a little bit better about it. And we're just caught in that trap. You know, so it's time to disconnect and understand that nothing you complain about, nothing you argue about, and all the problems that are taking up all the energy, they're not going to be solved in that paradigm. It's broken, it's flawed, it's screwed, it's crumbling, it's falling apart. And there's going to be a large portion of society that's going to fall with it, because a lot of those people aren't going to wake up. They're too embedded in this system, and they're not even close to a spiritual awakening. They're just, some people are going to die without waking up. You know, it's okay. There's been people doing that for generations. For the last 100,000 years, people have been dying without waking up. So it's really nothing new. So, It's okay. Let them fall apart. It's about putting our attention on the new paradigm. This is where the difference comes in. You know, this is where the new stage where we are right now. It's to stop the arguing, stop the paying attention to all that stuff, and start putting attention to the new paradigm that's being created. You know, that's where we are now. And that is, you know, start researching documentaries, start researching useful information. So, you know, as a general rule, we're going to be creating a new reality based in love, based in community, based in caring. It's, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of aspects of it that are very similar to ancient civilizations that actually lived in harmony with one another. However, it's where we're taking their philosophies and we're using our technology and our advanced way of thinking to be even better at it.
Right.
And what's cool is this has already happened. Like, it's already been happening for the last 60 years. People have been doing this and it's all out there. And most people don't know that it's out there. Because why? Well, because the current paradigm doesn't want to put a magnifying glass on that. Right. It does not want to shine the light on that.
It's a distraction almost from it.
Right. So they just keep us arguing.
Watch this hand. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So it's like they don't have to, you know, they don't have to really do anything. They just, you know, it always cracks me up that, like, I'll talk about this stuff and people like, I didn't know that was going on. It's like, well, yeah, of course not. Like, how does it put more, remember, what's the goal of the current paradigm? Power and money. So how does it put more power and money into people's hands for you to know about it?
Right.
It doesn't. Right. That's why you don't know about it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's not because it doesn't exist. It's because it doesn't put more money and power into other people's hands. So, right. But what's cool is all social change has always happened through grassroots movements. It's always happened that way. It makes me laugh even to say this. We have never had somebody that was really rich and powerful go, hey, guys, I had this, you know, epiphany and that we could really help people instead of control them. So let's do that. Never happened, you know, and it ain't gonna. So like it's always grassroots movements. So this is what's happening. There's already a network, grassroots, that's out there. There are community living places being popped up all over the place. Living off grid is now becoming fashionable. And this is all rising even while it's trying to be suppressed.
Yeah.
And it's still rising. Why? Because you can't stop it. Because it's love-based and love is more powerful. It's the most powerful energy there is. So, like, and the comical part is that ego is a non-thinking entity. So ego is what's running the old paradigm. All it knows is more, more, more power, more money. If it was, that's how we know it's ego oriented. It doesn't think. The ego doesn't have the ability to reason and think. It's like cancer. It just knows more. If cancer was smart, it would just stop at a certain point so it didn't kill its host, because in killing its host, it kills itself, right? So the ego is like that. It doesn't think. It doesn't go, well, hey, maybe I should stop here. Now that I have 95% of the money, maybe we should just stop. It doesn't understand stopping. It just knows more. So that's why its demise is built into it. That's why it must fail. It's a beautiful thing. It's crumbling itself. How? Because it just keeps making things worse and worse for the regular people. And eventually the regular people start looking elsewhere.
Right.
This sucks so bad that we should look elsewhere for happiness, peace, contentment, a different way of life, because this way sucks and I can't see a way out of it. So eventually it pushes the public into the right direction, you know? So that's where we are now. People's eyes are starting to wake up and they're starting to go, okay, wait a minute. This has been a dog chasing its tail my entire life. I mean, I'm 54 years old. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen this my entire life. It hasn't gotten better. So why would I think it's going to get better if I elect the right person or if I bitch about the right problem? Like this has been happening my whole life and nothing's gotten better. It's gotten worse.
Yeah.
So then you start looking for another avenue and that's where you start finding the real solutions. And that's what more and more people are doing, you know? So that's what we need to feed is that new paradigm.
So how do we feed the new paradigm other than going off grid and, you know,
well, it's the
televisions and
it's the same dynamic that is the spiritual truth. It's just energy. So how do we do anything that we don't want? We have to starve. Everything we do want, we have to feed. So, you know, we don't, this is the problem. This is why we can't fight against the government. It's because then you're still stuck in that paradigm. You're still feeding that paradigm energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm fighting against it. Doesn't matter. You're feeding that energy. So disconnect from that paradigm. Stop watching the news. Stop arguing about things. Stop allowing your attention to be drawn off on the next shiny thing that they want to freak you out over. And just starve it. You don't have to fight it. You don't have to just starve it. You know, stop, mute, record all your TV shows and fast forward through the commercials. You know, like stop watching the news. Start watching things that actually feed your soul. What do you want to expand? You want your happiness to expand? Well, start watching things that will make you happy. You know, start watching things that will give you hope. Start watching things that are in alignment with a life that you would like to live. There are, and what's beautiful is, like I'm saying, there is a paradigm all over it. It's already there. There are people already living off grid. You can do it. And you can make you can make really good money doing it. You know, just in the last, I don't know, month, I've seen like the Down to Earth on Netflix with Zac Efron, which cracks me up. You know,
I did not see it.
Oh yeah, you got to check out that series. They did a series that was all around the world, and then they were off for a couple of years, and then they just released a new series, a new season. And it's all in Australia. And like they go and they show you how to regenerate the soil. Like we've destroyed so much soil on planet Earth with the wrong farming techniques, but we can regenerate that. And they figured out how to do that. So people are doing that and they're making a fortune. Like there's this one little, they just bought this little farm and they grow their own food and they have so much surplus that they sell it. And they have a waiting list. I think it was 22 years long. What? Yeah. They're like, you can put your kids on this list and maybe they'll be able to buy some of our food. And what's cool about this is that it's an example of money. Because people think that spirituality or living a good, healthy, loving life is not feasible. It's not realistic. Mm. Baloney. That, like, living this way is fashionable. It's the way we're moving in the future. And if there is, these people are like, this is what they're saying on the show. They're like, we have a 22-year waiting list. I think that's how long it was. And they're going, do you see the financial opportunity there? This does not take a lot of money. Do what we're doing. We will help you. We're showing you how. This show is literally telling you half of the stuff already. We will help you get this started. And then you can sell all this stuff and make money like we're making money. And there's obviously enough room. There's enough desire for it because there's a 22-year waiting list.
That is insane.
Yeah. So it proves
22 years.
Yeah. That proves that you can make money living this way.
Yeah.
You know, and these other people I talked about that bought this land for $200,000 using investors because they didn't have any money. And within a couple of years, they made it self-sustaining, Airbnb, et cetera, et cetera. They're generating, I think it was $30,000 a month income. The property value is off-grid and went from $200,000 when they bought it to $1 million.
Wow.
Just within like 2 or 3 years. That's in the amazing. United States.
Yeah. And they borrowed money to purchase that property. So they didn't even have to come out of pocket for it.
Right. And they created a program to teach other people how to do this.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That's so cool. it's live off grid. I don't know. I get their emails, but like now they're hiring more and more people because they're promoting this and people are like, oh my God, this is amazing. So people are getting on board and it was like three of them, like 2 weeks ago. I'm on their email list and they're like, hey, we're looking for somebody to work for us to be our fourth. And then like within a week or two later, they're like, okay, now we're hiring somebody else. And then like a week later, they're like, okay, now we're going to hire several people and some of them are going to be live on property. Like, I mean, like this stuff is expanding. You know, we're finding out that we don't need a house that, you know, we spend mortgage payments on. We just live to pay our bills, you know, like, and that's the American dream. It's like to be in debt for 30 years is the American dream. And then eventually you own it, you know, and then if people really look into it and protect themselves and hide it from the government and all this stuff, they might actually be able to retire and maybe sell their house and maybe have a couple $100,000, a few $100,000 if they're lucky. I mean, I know many people that just kind of do the American dream without looking into it too much. And then one of them gets sick, like many die right after retirement. So they get nothing. You know, they just
right there.
And then other ones like get sick after retirement. And if they weren't informed enough to hide this, then what happens is they have to go to Medicare and the government takes their house.
Wow.
You know, after they worked for 30, 40 years paying this their whole life, they think that they're going to retire. Then all of a sudden they get sick and then all of a sudden the house gets taken by the state and they owe taxes on it.
So they're basically working jobs they hate to pay just to pay bills to eventually get to the not promised retirement you may or may not get to enjoy.
Right. And then
there it may not.
And then they get sick
from
kicking their own ass.
Yeah. You
know, for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And then when that happens, then they lose everything. And not only do they not have that $200,000 from their house or $300,000 or $500,000 from their house, but they're literally in debt because of it. Then they owe after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're taking your house and you owe. Like, wow. Yeah, and you know, and I've seen this happen. It's unfortunate. So that, you know, like, we have to start understanding, like, you know, and look at the tiny house movement. You know, this is the type of stuff that we don't need everything. We don't need everything we think we need, man.
Yeah.
You know, like I moved from a, you know, when I first came over here, it was just this beautiful house. I was moving over. The rent was a lot cheaper over here. I was like, oh my God, you know, I didn't know the community. It's a completely different country. It was safe. It was one. So I got a 3-bedroom house. I didn't need a 3-bedroom house. It was me and my dog, but it was beautiful. It was half the rent that I was paying in the US. So I was like, okay, you know, and I lived there for 3 months until I found this place. Now I live in a 1-bedroom living room, little kitchen and a bathroom. That's it.
What do you need?
I'm fine. That's all I need.
That's all you need.
You know? Mm-hmm. So we don't need everything that we think we need. So like, you know, these smaller home communities and living off grid and, you know, all this stuff is the direction that we're going. Living, we have to get back to community. We have to get back to actually caring for one another. Because yeah. This is comical, but we put our faith in a government that has been proven to lie to us since its inception. So many times you can't count. I mean, I was like, my generation, I'm like, we didn't learn that the government lies in like Vietnam. You didn't get the memo, like, yeah. You know, Watergate, like none of you didn't pick up on this in any of it. That was my biggest surprise when COVID hit, that people didn't understand that the government lied. Right. It's like you didn't, or with the Black Lives Matter, like, you know, mm-hmm. like people didn't understand that the police beat up and killed people. It's like, yeah. You
missed the memo.
Like, you didn't know this stuff still happened. I mean, right. So like, yeah, this stuff happens in the old paradigm, you know, but we somehow put our trust and our faith in our government to save us. It ain't gonna.
No.
Because it's not its goal. It never was meant to do that. It's, you know, it
never.
I mean, there's even hints to it. Like, you know, we the people type stuff. Like, we're supposed to be in charge of the government. You know, there might have been a couple good people that started this country, or some idealist or something that said, hey, don't let your government control you, because that's what happened in England. You know, you have to control your government.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's because some people have known that, you know, if you're allowed, if you let people control you, they will take control over you.
Yeah. You any room you give right. an inch will take a mile. Yeah.
So we got, you know, so now we've gone through COVID and we trust the government to save us, but we can't trust our neighbor.
Yeah.
That's backwards.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Why? What does your neighbor have against you? Like, what? Why? Like, what? Yeah. What does a neighbor benefit by, like, hurting
you? When you know your neighbor personally. And yeah. Know the government personally.
Yeah, it's like, I've seen the government hurt me. I've seen the government not have my best interest at heart.
Yeah.
Consistently, basically always. I've never been attacked randomly by a neighbor. You
know what? But I'll choose to trust the government over my
right,
neighbor.
Over the neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, and then they feed it and they feed it. And then they say you're not a good person if you don't do what the government says. Oh, that's even better for the ego. I'm a good person. Oh, what? You don't think the way that I think? Well, you must be a bad person. And right. I'm a good person. Oh, let's create more separation. This is wonderful. Now we can control them. You can control people that are separated. Right?
That's how it works.
Divide and conquer. Exactly. So it's, you know, we have to really just start putting our attention on, you know, what's healthy, what's healthy. Living in community mm-hmm. is healthy. You know, like I watched this documentary of, I think it was called The 12, which is really an interesting, you can Google it. And it's like these 12 ancient leaders, like spiritual leaders from all around the world. And somebody was led to get these 12 leaders together and have them have a meeting in the New York, in the big building in New York there with
the Empire.
No, but it's the organization that like is supposed to bring the world together. I can't think of it. Boy, I've been blanking on specifics for the last 2 weeks. I can't come up with words. But whatever. So they have this meeting there and they get all these people, and some of the spiritual leaders like, "Yeah, we've been waiting for you to come." they're completely disconnected from society, you know. But so they all came together, and they were talking to some of them, and in their home, like in the middle of nowhere in Africa somewhere, you know, where they haven't been touched by society, and other places around the world. And they were like, you know, you seem very happy. And they're like, well, yes, of course we're happy. You know, and they're like, well, why are you so happy? And one of the first things they said was community. Mm. Like, it's because we have each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's where our happiness is derived from each other, where we're all together and we love one another. And so we're happy.
Yeah.
It's like very simple. You know, we're not divided and fighting and angry all the time. Like, yeah. For some reason in developed countries, we think we're supposed to agree with everybody all the time. I don't know where we got that idea.
Like, yeah, as if you can't have, right. As if disagreeing is a slight or something negative.
Yeah, then we have to separate from somebody if they don't think like we think.
Not, yeah.
That's not how it is when we're kids.
No.
You know, you're running around. It's like, hey, you want to be my friend? Yeah, okay. You want to swing on a monkey bar? Yeah. Whee! Yeah. You know, and you just go. Mm-hmm. You want to go on a slide? No, I don't want. I want to stay on the monkey bars. Okay. So one stays on the monkey bars and one goes down the slide.
Yeah.
And then they'll reconnect later. Want to go on the merry-go-round? Yeah. Okay. You know, it's not like, well, what kind of person chooses a monkey bar over a slide? You know? We judge everything. It's ridiculous. You're not thinking the way that I think. What's wrong with you? You have to think the way that I think, or else we're going to go in the wrong way. No, we're individuals for a reason. We're supposed to think differently. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to be able to choose our own way.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So this is what we have to get back to. So anything, you know, eating healthy, growing your own food, you know, stuff that you can do. You don't have to leave your old life. Like, you can keep your house, you can keep your job, and you can learn how to grow freaking herbs on your windowsill or something. I don't know, you know, but look into it. Spend a little time understanding the new paradigm that's coming up. If you want to get into an aspect of it, you'll know. If you don't, then don't. You know, we're all individuals. I'm not telling people how to live. I'm just saying, if you understand that the old paradigm is failing and there isn't a fixing it, and start looking into what the new paradigm is and see where you can fit in.
Yeah.
Because the whole world is going that way, and there's all kinds of, if you want to capitalize on it for financial reasons, please go ahead. I don't care. I'm not judging you. Go ahead. You know, I don't care why you start a farm, because you want to be a multimillionaire and that's the most fashionable thing to do. Cool. Do it. I don't care. It's going to benefit the world. You know? So look into business opportunities. What do people like? Oh, if I have money, I'll invest in one of these live off grid programs, because these knuckleheads think it's the way that things are going. Cool. So I'll invest $200,000 when the land is worth $1 million, you know. Yeah. I'll be like, hey, give me 10% of your profits for the next 5 years. I'll make a fortune. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Go do it. That, you know, it doesn't matter why you're doing it. It just matters that we do it. We start putting attention to living off grid, living off the land, interacting with the world a little bit better, being more green, crapping on the world a little bit less, getting along with one another, maybe not owning so many things, maybe downsizing the house, maybe moving to a different country, you know, maybe finding a spiritual community to live in. Like, an experiment with it. It doesn't necessarily even have to be a life change forever. You could just experiment with some of these things and find what you like. But that's what I mean. Just start dabbling and putting attention into it and looking into it. That's all. That's all we have to do at this stage. That's enough, because that's tons of energy going into creating a new paradigm. And you don't even really have to do anything except watch a documentary and send a couple. <You know? laughs>
Next stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as the attention starts being put on more of these things, because if you ask most people, would you like to just have a peaceful life? Like just have a little house on a little piece of land, off grid, not owe anything, and just live peacefully? Most people would say yes. That is completely accessible. Like you could have basically, I hate to throw a specific number, but you could have $50,000 and do that in a lot of countries. Now you would have to have, you know, income coming in to live off of for the years after. So you might have to work online or something, but whatever. My point is it's possible.
Yeah.
No. And people think it isn't. They think, well, I'm stuck in a 30-year mortgage. Do you know how much your house is worth right now? Freaking sell it.
Yeah. Look it up.
Sell it.
Don't just write it off because you don't think it's possible.
Sell it. Look into it. You can, and you don't even have to leave your country. Leaving your country is getting more popular, but you don't have to. You know, there's places in the United States and other developed countries that that have these opportunities right there.
Yeah.
Well, holy crap, this turned into a really one-way conversation with me babbling the whole time, but I'm looking at the clock and we have to stop before we get cut off.
Okay. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
So
I'm ready.
We might have to do
it now. I'm ready.
We might have to do a follow-up on this one.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to need a part two.
Yeah. Maybe a part two on this one to expand on the solution even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, yeah, we got to keep it under an hour, so I got to wrap it up and say goodbye quickly. Thank you, Aubrey, for listening.
My pleasure.
Participating, of course.
And Winston as well. He really.
Oh yes.
He enjoyed it. So
awesome.
For anyone listening and not watching the video, it's my cat.
Yes.
You have to go to the video to see the cat, though. That's the catch.
So, that's the catch. That's the draw.
That's it.
All right. All right, cool, everybody. Thank you. And where's the ending? There it is. All right. Bye, everybody.
Looking for more? Check out over 200 episodes of Life Lessons and Laughter, or click the link in the description of this episode to connect with Glenn directly.